Good morning. Welcome back. November 11th, Wednesday.
Hump day.
Veterans Day. Thank you to all our veterans. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Dad. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom. Assigned to the case. How's everybody doing? I feel great. Got up this morning. What did I do? What do you want to guess? Went for a run. I got to do that every day. It just has to happen. My life is so much better when I run. So much better when I run. So I got up this morning and I ran yesterday, and I usually run this morning with the doctor, and he had a lot of life stuff, a lot of work, and he's a teacher, so he had a lot of student stuff, and he couldn't join me. It would have been a great opportunity to skip it. Skip that. But I didn't. I got up this morning, made some coffee. Same thing I always do every day. Looked at my phone a little bit, suited up, and went for a run. It's amazing. It's so beautiful out right now, too. That's the real gift in all this, is that, you know, there's just so much great stuff to see, and it was warm. That I could have done without the warm. It was a little too warm. I was pretty, you know, I don't mind dressing for the weather, but when it's a little chilly, so you dress for the chill, but the heat shows up and the humidity, and next thing you know, sweating like a pig. But I actually enjoy that myself. So it was a great morning, great run. I have a client in an hour. I thought I'd sit down and just dissect myself for a minute. Not much going on. That's a problem, right? I remember, you know, my dad was in the military, and I think I said this before. If I did, forgive me. But he said when Gorbachev, you know, and they tore down the wall, and you know, the Cold War was over. My dad's boss calls him in, General, I think it's General Leaf, I don't remember. We got a problem, man. My dad's like, what's the problem? I would think everything would be really great right now. We don't have an enemy. What are we going to do? Guess we'll have to make one up.
If there is a line no one sees, how can I know what you might believe? Yeah. A story told that can't be real somehow must reflect the truth we feel.
I always think that story is pretty funny. We don't have an enemy. I'm not going to get into that whole military and politics, but it's an interesting thing. You know, one of the, I thought I'd just talk a little bit about this. There's a book out, it's called Drop the Rock. If you're into meetings, I don't know what area you're in, but I'm sure it happens in most areas. Eventually this book shows up, and eventually a Drop the Rock meeting shows up. It is not AA approved literature. So I don't know. That's a big thing. But for me, I thought it was fantastic. And it's called Drop the Rock, Removing Character Defects, Steps 6 and 7. And, you know, my wife and I are both sober. When I met my wife was, you know, drinking, like, whatever. Like, I won't say like a normal person, but she was drinking, you know, whatever. It's her prerogative. And we dated for a long time. And I, you know, when I met my wife, I was at a place in my life. I wasn't looking for anybody. I was like, I'm over it. I've been through two divorces, you know, been in a kind of a fucked up relationship that was really fucked up, and it ended. And I was like, you know what? I'm just over it. You know, I just want to focus on my kids and my work and my sobriety and just try to get, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for relationships. And I was fine with it. You know, if I wanted to go on a date, I'd go on a date. You know, if I wanted to, you know, to do something social with other females or men and women, I could do that. I didn't have to worry about, you know, being held back by a relationship. I just wanted some freedom. And I wanted some peace. And I did that for a while, and then I met my wife, and I was like, you know, whatever. You know, there was a time when I was after my second divorce, and I was kind of dating a person, sort of, if you want to call it that. It was pretty dysfunctional, but every once in a while she would smoke, and I'd be like, ugh, I'm smoking, because I smoked, and I quit, and all of a sudden I was superior. So I was very critical, and when I met my wife smoked. She still smokes. Don't tell her I told you. But she does. And I was like, I don't care. Do whatever you want. I'm tired of caring about that stuff. And she drank. And I was like, I don't care. Do whatever you want. I'm not drinking. And as our relationship continued, some of these things started to become a little bit of an issue. Because, you know, you do something long enough and all of a sudden feelings show up and love, the future, whatever. And she was, you know, and her evolution of drinking was slowly being affected by my lack of drinking. You know, what do they say? You want to fuck up somebody's drinking, set them next to somebody that doesn't drink. Because you just, all you do is focus on how much you drink. That's why we don't hang, you know, that's why when we're in our addictions, we don't hang with people that aren't. We don't need anybody making us look at ourself. It's not fun. It's not a comfortable place. So we surround ourselves with people like ourselves. But my wife at the time, or my wife, or girlfriend at the time, you know, she'd also come through some shit and was kind of, she reminded me a lot of myself, just, the female version of me. But, you know, you don't start off as an alcoholic, right? You start off as just social, a sip of this, a sip of that. And then the next thing you know, maybe a drunken evening here and there. But then it starts to become this weird habit. And she had some things go on in her life and ended up moving here with her family out of New York to kind of just leave New York behind in the past. And I think we've all done that at some point. Just need a fresh start, and came here and didn't really know anybody and just kind of slid into this habit of kind of drinking a lot. And then you meet somebody that doesn't, and you try to figure out how to balance that stuff out. And, you know, over the time we decided, you know, and there's a lot of, one of my character defects is just my lack of being honest about certain things. You know, luckily we're at a pretty good place in our life today. We're married now, and she's sober, and in January 1st, she'll celebrate 2 years of being free. But you know, things start to become an issue, and that character defect of mine, which is not being honest and being like, whatever, I don't care, it's fine. But it, you know, I was the resentment started to slowly show up, and just like me, it was like me with my first wife back in the day, And I remember I talked to her, and when I decided to drink after 4 years, almost 5 years, and I made a deal with her. I'm like, listen, I think I can drink. This is what I'm going to drink. I'm going to probably just, I'll just keep it to three, right? How many people out there have made this deal? Two or three beers. I'll just keep it to two or three. That is a serious garden for resentments right there. And, you know, our relationship and our relationship with her drinking slowly evolved to a point where we decided that she was just going to have a couple beers on the weekends. Couple beers. You know, maybe a couple beers a night. So right away, you know, the wheeling and dealing goes on, and next thing you know, I'm becoming the police, the drink police, and I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it. It just was a reminder of myself, and what happens in that kind of situation, the lack of me being honest created a situation where in the end, I was so annoyed and full of resentment that it was almost the end of us, where I should have just said, listen, I can't be with some of the drinks. If this is going to be a problem, nice knowing you. I'll catch you later. That's what normal adults would probably do, but not me. I don't have a problem with it, whatever. So in the end, my wife gave up drinking. And I'm going to spare all the details in the middle because just out of respect to her, because, you know, I am proud of my wife. She quit. But she quit because it was an ultimatum. And the ultimatum was like, I can't continue this relationship and one day getting married if you drink like this. She's like, I get it. And so she quit. But she didn't have to, she didn't come in that door that I came in, which was I was beat down with nothing left, humiliated, shame, guilt, and I was ready for everything. Please, I'm ready. This is between me, myself, and I, and we're ready. But my wife, she came in through the different door, which is, yeah, I'm here, fine. And she, you know, she likes being sober. She appreciates all the wonderful things that come from it. One of them being just waking up a sober person is always a huge gift to me every day. And so she's on board. But one of the challenges is that she's never really been forced to take a really good look at herself. Whereas a lot of people that come into AA through that other door, which is full of shame and guilt, are ready to start picking ourselves apart. And I think even in the beginning, picking myself apart, I thought it was just to pick myself apart. I mean, it was like kind of like walking the gauntlet. Like you just got to tear yourself apart and expose it and feel like shit and fix it. And then once you kind of do that, you know, everything's better. I didn't understand that those are the things that we work on, those character defects, and really picking ourselves apart to make ourselves better so that we're not the same person that when a problem is in front of us, drinking is an option. You know, because that in the end is what we're trying to preserve, our sobriety. And working through this program and understanding this stuff is just building a foundation so that when shit gets a little crazy, we have a strong foundation and we don't hopefully return to the drink. So what's going on now, 2 years into my wife's sobriety, is that she's still stressing about some stuff, you know, insecurities and this and you know, fear and a lot of old stuff. And so I told her, babe, we should just start, you know. I don't want to be her sponsor. I don't want to fix her. I said, well, maybe we can just read the 12 and 12. I mean, I don't have to tell you anything. But the 12 and 12, these steps in this program are what relieves us from the rest of that shit. The beginning is what relieves us from putting the glass to our lips. The rest of it is what relieves that pain. The rest of it is what relieves us from putting that blade to our arm or that gun to our head. Because you can really be free from drink and be more miserable in this existence than ever before. Because what happens when you put down the drink? You start to build a life. And if you can't manage the life, it starts to get fucking too much. And we get stressed out. And that was my point to my wife. As I said, you know, it'd be great if we could, you know, I would love to see you free from some of this anxiety and stress. The simple things, just minding our own business. It's a huge one right now. Stay in your lane, stay on your square. Don't worry about that. Simple little reminders, you know, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it'll work out. It will. I promise. You know, the character kind of stuff. I mean, it's been a big topic. You know, I ran this morning and you know, I thought about a lot of things and it seems to be really the theme of what's going on is let's start rebuilding some character. And when we come into this program, we're basically characters, right? I mean, if you ask anybody, you know, and I think it was the same for me, and I think it was the same for my wife, and I think it's the same for a lot of people. That first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had became unmanageable to other people. We'll put up with a lot. Shit, we'll ride the fucking plane right into the ground, right? We'll drive the boat right into the shore. While our family members are bailing water and patching holes and fucking filling the motor with gas and steering it. And we're just like, we don't care. We're going into the fucking shore. And at some point, our families are like, I can't take it anymore. They jump out of the fucking boat. And our friends that are like trying to steer it and fill the motor with gas, they can't take it anymore and they jump out of the boat. And when the boat finally hits the shore and we bounce out and roll across the ground and our boat is wrecked and everything's lost, then do we finally maybe show up for the conversation? A test, right? But then you start, get a little time and your boat gets fixed up and friends show back up and your family shows back up. Because, you know, the crazy thing is that, you know, me off alcohol for 1 week looks so fucking great compared to the way it was before that we're so amazed that we can tend to forget about continuing doing the work. And this book, Drop the Rock, I'm going to read the back. I would read this, I guess, to you guys. It's a great book. But I'll read the back of it and just see if this gives us some light on this. It says, with more than 250,000 copies sold, Drop the Rock is the definitive guide to removing character defects. Character defects, what are those? That's a good question. I think you know where. I think that you know the ones. There's the obvious, and then there's like taking the best parking spot at a business that you own. That one's a tough one, right? Because you think you're smart. You think, God damn, how lucky am I? I got the best parking spot at my own business. That can happen drinking or not drinking, drugging or not drugging. You can be sober as a judge and think getting the best parking spot at your own business is a score. When really that's just self, right? Because really, that spot should be for someone that's paying to come to your business. I always say, I'll never do business with the person that takes the best spot at their business. I'll never eat at a restaurant when the owner sits at the bar and eats. I'll never forget that, sitting in a restaurant watching the owner's wife sit there and eat while the owner is behind, in the weeds. Like, bitch, get off the fucking stool and help out your husband. Sorry about that. Lady. So, you know, understanding character defects, trying to figure them out, because there's some out there that we'll continue to do, and we think we're, hey, listen, I'm not drinking and drugging. I'm doing good. It doesn't mean, what do they say? An asshole alcoholic that stops drinking is just an asshole alcoholic that stopped drinking. Stopping the drinking does not fix the thinking. And this is a great book to try to understand that. And it says, resentment, fear, self-pity, dishonesty, anger. This cast of character defects undermines the best laid plans for recovery from addiction. It is not uncommon for individuals in recovery to cling in negative, self-defeating behaviors long after giving up their addictions. These behaviors are the rocks that can sink recovery, or at the least, block further progress. Based on the 12-step program, particularly the principles behind steps 6 and 7, Drop the Rock combines powerful personal stories, practical advice, and important insights to help readers truly transform their recovery. I love it. There's a story in here, and I don't know if word for word, so I'll just kind of give it, you know, my version of it. But it talks about how something like they're in a boat and they decide to jump out and they want to swim to shore, but they want to continue to carry this bad behavior being the rock. And they're swimming, but they can't. It's too heavy and they can't keep their head above water. And there's people out there that will drown. Just drowned instead of dropping that rock, instead of dropping that character defect, that self stuff. Let's see what else we can read. Share a few more thoughts. Finish this amazing song and let you folks be on your way and having a great day. Let's sleep. Here we go. Daily reflections. We already know what day it is. The 11th. Ooh. How many other words are there for surrender? Can we make a list? I was brushing my teeth this morning and for some reason I was thinking about this. It's like nobody likes to surrender, quit, or give up. But you can have acceptance, right? So November 11th, self-acceptance. We know that God lovingly watches over us. We know that when we turn to Him and will be well with us here and hereafter. We know that God lovingly watches over us. We know that when we turn to Him, all will be well with us, here and hereafter. I pray for the willingness to remember that I am a child of God, a divine soul in human form, and that my most basic and urgent life task is to accept, know, love, and nurture myself. I accept myself. I am accepting God's will as I know and love myself. I am knowing and loving God. As I nurture myself, I am acting on God's guidance. I pray for the willingness to let go of my arrogant self-criticisms and to praise God by humbly accepting and caring for myself. I don't know what that means. I mean, I do, but it's a lot of words. You know, you got to show up. And I've said this before, and I didn't invent this, but, you know, we work until the pain stops. And people like my wife, people like me, even, you know, there's been, even where I'm at today, I'm fine. I've stopped working because the pain has stopped. Is there more to work on? I think so. You know, I bounce in and out on a daily basis of this program. You know, I take my will back, I turn my will over. I take my will back, I turn my will over. I'm aware of my character defects, and then my character defects show up. I'll do things that show my character defects, and then I'll make excuses. I'll justify them. It's never perfect. It's never easy. You know, when my mom passed away, you know, I had several people, you know, reach out to me and let me know that, you know, despite all of this, Tom, it's not worth having a drink. And I had, drinking was not on my list of things I thought I might want to do. But there's been a time in my life where my mom dying would have been a great reason to have a drink. But over time and trials and tribulations, I have learned. And the most important thing is that I don't want to have a drink. I don't. There's a time where I would think about having a drink, and immediately I would begin to fantasize of all the wonderful things that would happen once I had it. But over time, I have learned through this program and practicing things that the thought of having a drink is immediately followed up by drama, loss, tragedy, inappropriateness, possibly going to jail, definitely losing everything. Immediately shows up. Boom. Oh, what's up? What's up? You know, what's up drinking? See, you brought all your friends. The shit show. Drinking used to show up by itself. Hey, what's up? It's just you? Just me. Well, I could try that. I'll try that. Come on, drink. Let's talk. But not anymore. Drink shows up and he brings the fucking whole shit circus with him. And I'm like, I see all of you. You know, there was a time don't ask me why this came up. And I've talked about this. There was a time when, you know, if I got drunk enough, I would smoke crack. I wasn't a big cocaine. You know, when I was living in San Diego, we used to do freebase, which is crack. It's just cooked up cocaine. But in California, it was called freebase. And then in the next 3 years, this transition happened where it all became coke or crack. And when I moved to Delaware, I moved here as a meth addict who got clean because there was no meth here, and I reverted to alcohol. But I was such a high level in the meth that it took a ton of alcohol to even remotely get close to being at that same level of addictive behavior. I mean, we would do meth. We'd stay up for freaking a month doing meth, smoking weed, drinking. I mean, you could do meth and drink. It was just a whole thing, right? Eating a burrito a week, barely eating, skinny as a rail. Take all that away and replace it with alcohol, and my God, the fucking amount of alcohol I was drinking was just freaking awful. And I remember one night getting hammered. I don't remember. I mean, I know it as part of my story. But getting hammered and somehow smoking crack. And then the next day I was at my house. And this crack dealer walks through my front door. Didn't knock. Didn't ring the doorbell. Hey, man, you need anything? What are you doing here? You showed me where you live last night. I'm like, fuck, I didn't remember any of this. This guy just shows up at my house, walks through the front door. Oh my God, I was fucking mortified. And that would be the beginning of the end of my addiction. I would do it for a little longer. I remember he walked into my house. My wife had already left. Taking the child, And this is what I would become. Brutal. What time is it? What's the time? Ooh, I went over. All right, well, listen. I have no suggestions for you today. Don't drink. That's a good one. On a small world west of wonder, somewhere, nowhere.
Burn in hell with all of you!